Shooter ready.
Yep.
Shooter ready. Okay, five.
Shooter ready.
Shooter ready.
Yep.
Shooter ready. Okay, five.
Shooter ready.
Stand by.
Shooter, are you ready? Stand by.
Shooter ready.
Stand by.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Shooter, Are You Ready podcast. As you know, if you may have heard in previous episodes, my name is Midwest Savage. How you doing? Thank you for showing up. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. I am your host from, well, I'm not going to say coast to coast, your favorite host from since Space Ghost. And here is my co-host, Paul.
That was good.
Nah.
You pulled that one out in a way that I didn't think you were going to be able to.
Space Ghost is awesome. But, we're here. It's just Paul and myself today. Just, you know, hanging out, talking,
conversating.
Yeah. You know, just seeing how Paul is doing, seeing what's going on with Paul, seeing what's going on with me, what we got going on, what's next. Bunch of things happening and have happened, if I must say. It's been a while since we've talked, Paul.
It is.
I mean, we chat. Don't get me wrong. There's the occasional message every now and then, but like we don't get down and just talk
about
things.
Not like this. Not like this. We've had a lot in terms of like just matches that have really happened. Right now, we're recording this in July.
Yes.
So right after the 4th. And this year, we've had Winter KCON.
Yep.
Summer KCON.
Yep.
AK Masters.
Yep.
And now, I mean, we're kind of getting into the meat and potatoes of things with kind of the halfway point, which is Mitten State, which is kind of our next big one that we got coming up.
By the time you are listening to this, I will be sleeping because I will have driven all the way back from Mitten State this coming Saturday. So I hope I do well. I hope Paul does well. I hope everybody in our squad does well.
Yep.
And I hope that once you hear this, you're like, ooh, I wonder what happened at Mitten State. I'll have good things to tell you. And Paul as well, of course. You know, everybody on the squad. Good things.
So I really think we've got a bigger group that's going this year.
Yeah.
It's a lot of the guys that I went to Masters with that you've heard of the podcast before. So we've got John, we've got Scott, we've got
Beautiful Mustache,
Jeff, Sketchy Lefty, we have Moisha, we have I'm forgetting the other mustache.
John
Roach.
I thought that's who you were talking
John
about.
Fuller,
you say
Big
John.
John.
You say
Big
John,
John
I think
said.
Handsome mustache.
Yeah.
You say Big
yeah.
John, I think Big John.
I should have delineated.
You gotta clarify.
A more.
You yeah, gotta clarify. Yeah. That's why I don't call anybody by their first name. I'm a nickname guy.
Like very Italian of you.
At work, it's terrible because like we have apprentices, you know, mm-hmm. and like they come and go like water. All right, like they got their certain steps in apprenticeships, mm-hmm. and like some of them are there for like you know anywhere between 2 months to a year, and then like they leave, they go to school. Some of them come back, some don't. Sometimes we get new people that we've never seen, and like out of the like. You know, apprentices, I've got, there's Dr. Seuss, there's mm-hmm. Biscuit Neck, there's Hairdo, there's, who else is running around? Tall Kermit, you know.
And do these all, like, if somebody were to show up at your job site and you would say, hey, Biscuit Neck, and then somebody walked over, would they go, oh, I know why you call
I
him
say
Biscuit
it
Neck?
To them, yes. Like, because okay. I say it. But like other people, like I just got yelled at the other day by my boss, who's not my boss. What up, Tom? I know you're listening. But like he was saying something. He said somebody's last name. And I'm like, who? And then he was like, so-and-so. And I was like, oh, you mean hairdo, you know? And then he was like, you need to learn people's names. And I was like, I can't. But like everybody's, you know, they got something. Everybody's got a little uniqueness to them.
I didn't know if it was going to be like a Forrest Gump situation where it's like, and we called him Tex. I have no idea where he was from.
Yeah. Dallas from Detroit.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Where it's just completely different, like Biscuit Neck, but we actually call him that because like his neck doesn't fill out the collar of his shirt.
No, I don't know why I started calling him Biscuit Neck. I think he's got like a thick, like narrow neck.
Yeah. Something and difficult to saw through.
Yeah. And I was just like Biscuit Neck. And then like, but then we lost this one apprentice. Good dude. His real name was Sam, but I called him Clyde because he was just like a normal looking dude. He looked like Clyde from South Park. It's like, I just called him Clyde like for the longest time. And then they'd be like, Sam, where's Sam? I'm like, who the hell is Sam? And they're like, he's been with us for like 2 months. I'm like, oh, Clyde. Okay. I got you.
I'm a little bit different, but I've been working with a group of interns this summer.
Yeah.
And they're outside of like my own team. Right. So it's kind of like a mentorship opportunity, like kind of because I work for a very, very large company. So it's like, hey, how do we get these essentially kids like exposure to people that they might not interact with every single day? And then they're like, here's a goblin from like, you know, the top rope. Let's throw him in here and see if we can scare these kids around. But I am kind of the same way. I don't have nicknames for them, though, but it's like tax intern, legal intern, legal intern number two, who's obsessed with AI.
You like call them as their title
thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I mean, but you know who you're talking about.
I do. But I've never met them. That's kind of the other thing is I'm remote from everybody that I work with. Okay. So like I'm in an office, but everybody in that office are people that I do not work with. Or it's just like you have to be having a terrible day. If you are just like, hey, I should go talk to that guy over there because he might be able to help me with my problem.
So like, okay, if you're remote and you're talking to people, I'm sure this is like via like we're doing like webcam stuff over the
line. Almost the
like,
exact same.
Do you have empty cubicles where you just have like cardboard cutouts of people like that you talk to through the computer?
No.
That would be kind of.
But now kind of the weird thing is there's AI assistants that have started to join calls. So if there's somebody who like, hey, I can't join this call, but I want to know what's going on here. I'm going to send my AI assistant.
Really?
And then like, just like an AI joins and a robot reads off and it's like, hello, notes. I am Carly's AI assistant and I will be taking notes and recording.
Oh, and dude, that's kind of cool. Cause like in the middle of like real business talk, you know, like, well, our numbers are down this year and tomato soup.
Yeah.
Should and be then it, served and then it, cold.
And then it like, goes into their summary. Note,
like every other paragraph, just say something stupid. Should be like, this AI assistant is terrible. What are these notes?
Yeah.
That's what I would do at least.
Well, and I always, I mean, it's kind of a lot of my work calls are a lot like this, where it is like, hey, we'll get down to brass tacks eventually, but like, this is kind of the human interaction I get for the day. Nice. So we'll talk about a lot of stuff. So there was, I just saw the new F1 movie with Brad Pitt.
Okay.
And I was talking to one of my developers about that. And it was like the start of the call started off where they were discussing the current Formula One season, how Brad Pitt was doing this. Yeah, there was like this big blurb up at the top. And then we're talking after that about, you know, hey, how we have to like build out this connection, things like that. But I thought that was really, really funny too.
Yeah. That's awesome. That makes you think AI is not that good.
It's not. If AI has no haters, it means that I am dead. Like I am so. Where people are like, I asked ChatGPT, I asked the wood elves in the 100-acre wood, and they said you're a bitch. Like, I'm completely out on AI. Like, come up with your own shit. I don't need you to regurgitate something that you typed into a prompt.
Nice. So what else has been going on with you, Paul?
Yeah, we're getting spicy this morning when it comes to that. Well, trying to get ready. We just got out of the 4th of July. I had a good 4th. I hope everybody else did as well. We had great weather up here.
And safe.
Yep. I got, hold them up. I got all the fingers.
All the fingers.
Yeah. We're both from the Midwest.
Yeah. Yay.
One of the things that I will hold up against any other place in the world is I think that summer in the Midwest is just better than any place else that you can experience it.
It's really hot right now, man. It's brutal right now.
It is, but if you can find yourself on the water, I think the 4th of July is fantastic.
I hate water.
You hate water? Can you swim?
Not a water guy.
Do you know how to swim?
Okay. We'll get down to this right now. I enjoy a pool, okay? Mm-hmm. If it's hot out, you'll catch me dipping around in a pool playing.
You wade in, you get the arms up and you're going around like this.
Yeah, I just kind of do that, you know, or I'll like if it's a circular pool, I go around real fast trying to get like the whirlpool going.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But I pee. I do it all. But I don't like water I can't see through. Like rivers? Nope, you won't catch me in one. You know, like cuz there's snapping turtles in there, at least up here.
That's fair.
And I've seen the damage a snapping turtle can do to a broom handle, not putting my foot next to one and just wiggling my little toes around, not doing it. I can't swim. I mean, I can swim to save my life, but like, it's not like a leisurely thing.
Gotcha.
You know, don't like it. Then like, everybody's like, ever since I was like little, like, oh, just float, just lay on your back and fill yourself with air and float. But like, once the water touches my ears, panic, pure panic.
Okay.
I'm like, I'm going down. And then I just start treading water, doggy paddling, freaking out. Water gets in my mouth. I think I'm going down. So I don't know. I'll slip and slide all day. I'll run through sprinklers. I'll throw water balloons, Paul. But like,
large bodies of water, yeah, fast moving.
I plug my nose in the shower when I rinse my hair. You know, I'm not joking, dude. It's like, I don't like water. I think it all revolves back to, I was 7 years old. I was at my Aunt Debbie's house. She had a pool. I had a little G.I. Joe inflatable raft, like a little boat, you know, to fight that cobra. And then like this little boat's just, you know, kind of getting further and further away from the dock or the deck, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm reaching for it. I'm reaching for it. Next thing I know, boom, I'm in the water. I'm like, this is it. This is where little 7-year-old Jamie goes down. And the next thing I know, I see my aunt's hand waving around. And so I was like, I got to grab this hand. And then she pulls me out of the pool, throws me up on the deck. And I'm, you know, a little 7-year-old, probably crying. I'm sure I'm crying.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 100% crying, you know. And then after that, I'm like, I don't need to be in water. You know, that's all I'm going to. If I die, if it's not by like heart attack, Mack truck or like train, I drown somewhere, like in a lazy river.
It doesn't take much to have a drowning experience like that.
And I would. I panic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was a lifeguard for a long time, so I've seen this happen many a time.
Yeah.
And I get it. I just, like, the summertime, it's hot. I'll go to a wave out pool. Here.
I love wave pools.
But you have such a more chance of drowning in a wave pool than you do in just, like, an inland lake.
You just jump with the waves.
And then a tube comes over and smokes you, and you're done for.
Yeah, that's when you just start treading water back to the shallow end, dude.
You will never catch me in a wave pool. There's really? No way. Yeah.
I can see through the water in the wave pool.
I can be in a lake all day long, but I grew up on Lake Michigan, which is not like a little inland lake. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a little bit bigger, but it's the pools when there's a lot of people around. That's where I think people get into trouble.
See, and I don't like lakes. I mean, there's one lake up here. It's called Pearl Lake, and you can see through it. It's nice, but it still freaks me out just because, like, I watch a lot of horror movies.
Oh, yeah.
Like, creep show, like The Raft, where that big oil slick's just floating around grabbing people.
That's a great, that's a Stephen King. I love that one.
I love that movie, dude. Great horror movie. Great horror movie. I got a creep show tattoo. I love creep show. I'm a fan, dude. But, there's The Raft, and then, like, Jason, you know, he lives at the bottom of a lake.
Yep.
And there's so many lake monsters out there that, like, I believe in them because I'm an idiot.
Lagoons?
Yeah. The creature. He came from the Black Lagoon.
Yes.
You know?
The Blue Lagoons. Lagoons always have a color with them. It's either a green or a black or a brown.
Nobody ever said the murky lagoon, you know?
Which is almost in some ways more sinister than a colored
lagoon. I would go in a blue lagoon. I'd dabble my feet in a blue lagoon. I would not hang out in a murky lagoon.
No.
What are you thinking? What do you think is going to happen?
No, it's murky.
Man, we are way off the track here. Hey, love it.
Yeah. Well, it's that's what happens in a Midwest summer because anything can happen.
Murky lagoons, hot dogs, fireworks.
Are you I was grilling out 4th of July.
Right.
I'm so Wisconsin, I prefer a bratwurst over a hot dog.
Oh, 100% hands down.
Yeah. But we had some pretty good dogs.
Like, okay. Grilling, yes, brats.
Yeah.
Right? Not Johnsonville. Get that shit out of my face. All right? No commercial brats.
No. I want get your local stuff.
Yeah, local handmade, like the jalapeno and pineapple brats or like the garlic onion provolone brats, like the good shit, right?
I like a traditional beer brat. I don't necessarily need everything to be in there, but I do like them.
On a grill, I'm a brat man. Mm-hmm. But like I'm not going to walk into like, you know, a Chicago eatery and get like, oh, you guys got brats? Which most likely it's a Polish sausage, right? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But like, I'll take a hot dog, like a Chicago dog, run it through the garden, all the bullshit on it.
Yep.
You know, love that. But like grills, I'd rather have a brat than a hot dog off a grill.
If I'm going to a baseball game and it's not in Wisconsin, I'll get I like the all beef hot dog.
Yeah, dude. Like
the thick jumbo one.
That snaps when you bite into it.
Yes.
Yes. But
if it is at, I think it's American Family. It used to be Miller Park. It will always be Miller Park in my heart.
Yeah.
If it's Miller Park, I'm getting a brat.
Yeah. I go to a White Sox game and I'm like the sausage with the onions.
Yep.
And peppers and, they got Pepsi there and I hate that because I'm a Coke man. But like, yeah, I'll give them $25 and I walk away with a sausage on a bun with onions and a drink because baseball games are ridiculously expensive. But you know, America, what are you gonna do?
It's one of those where it's like there are certain, it's like getting popcorn at a movie theater.
Oh yeah.
You get like you get
bring your own things candy
at certain places.
Yeah.
And you do certain things and it's just kind of the way it's like, this is just the way that it's built out. It's like you get the hot dog, you get the brat, you get the encased meat at the baseball game.
Nitrates, all of that shit.
Everything.
If you buy candy at the movie theater, I don't respect you. Bring your own.
Somebody was trying to explain to me that I ran into recently where it's like at some movie theaters, and they worked at the one that I go to up here. I think it's a Marcus. They were like, it's not actually a policy that like you can't bring candy and food in.
Dude, I've brought McChickens.
Yeah, it's just
a movie
it's
before. It's I ain't
when
even
it becomes a nuisance or a problem that then they're like, "Hey,
we're back there chicken. Unwrapping shit in tinfoil."
Yeah, and
ribs.
Because he's like, "I don't like if you want to bring dots from the Hy-Vee that's across the street."
Hell yeah,
we don't care.
Yeah,
that he's like most like everybody's trying to be so sly with like what they're bringing in. He's like, "I'm not looking for that. I'm looking to make sure that you actually like paid to go see the movie."
Yeah, dude, my kid. I think last time we went, we're going to go see the new Fantastic Four here in a couple of weeks. But I think I can't even remember the last movie we went to. But he was yelling at me because I had Reese's Pieces in my pocket. And I bought them at like the dollar store. And they come in a box.
Yeah.
Right. And like I had cargo shorts on or pants, one of the two. I can't remember. But I had them in like the cargo pocket. And you could just hear the box of Reese's Pieces rattling every time I took a step. He's like, they're going to know. And I'm like, nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm buying a $15 tub of popcorn, dude. They don't care about my candy. They already got me. They got me on the tickets. They're going to get me on the popcorn.
They have way more things to worry about than you bringing in Reese's Pieces.
Yeah.
I've actually seen a lot of movies recently. I saw the new John Wick, the ballerina movie.
Yeah.
I liked that a lot.
Okay.
I saw the Formula One movie. I liked that a lot. It's not the best racing movie, but it's fun on the big screen. And I just like going to movies, so that's fine.
Well, yeah,
and
especially the big screen, you hear all the cars.
Yeah. And it looked really, really good. I wish that I could have seen it on IMAX, but the closest one to be is like 4 hours away.
Jeez. So
that's just not happening. But then I saw The Phoenician Scheme, which is the newest Wes Anderson, which I also really, really liked a lot too. So there's some movies that are coming out now that are like starting to come out more frequently that I actually kind of want to go see. I saw the newest Mission Impossible 2. I kind of know. Like, that's done. That's fine. I love all the Mission Impossible ones.
Mission Impossible 2?
It's like 2 as well.
Like T-O-O. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, saw that one. I thought it was fine.
You see Liam Neeson's doing Naked Gun?
I will not be going to see that.
It looks terrible.
The Naked Gun movies are... So, the original series, Police Squad.
Yes.
Incredibly funny.
Oh, yeah.
The Naked Gun movies, incredibly funny.
Yes.
I don't think you can, and it's not one of those where it's like comedy's illegal. You can never remake this movie.
100%. Right now. Well, it depends on who it is, right?
But I feel like Frank Drebin was such a perfect character.
Oh, yeah.
That
nice
like,
beaver. Thanks. I just had it stuffed.
Yeah. Like they're infinitely quotable, but they're. It's like so of that time where it's like, okay, we're going to try to recreate that for today's audience.
You can't.
I just don't think it works.
Shtick comedy was a huge thing late 70s, early 80s.
And it was fantastic.
It was beautiful. It was well-written. Well-written shtick.
I mean, even the Blues Brothers had a lot of it, which is my favorite movie. Like where like the building collapses and then they're crawling out of the rubble and then they're like, I want to be late for work.
Yeah.
Like just like that kind of like dry humor, I think was fantastic during that time. But like to try to bring that back now, I just don't think that it works.
I think you could do it if you just started originally. Don't try to remake something. Because that right there is just gonna turn like me. I'm like, you can't replace Leslie Nielsen. Shout out back to the Creepshow movies. Leslie Nielsen was in a Creepshow movie.
Which one was he in?
First one. Second one, Something to Tide You Over. He was the dude who kidnapped Ted Danson and buried him in the sand up to his head.
He was.
And then waited for the tide to come in and drowned him. Yeah, dude.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Hell yeah, dude. Something to Tide You Over. That was the name of that one. But we are way off topic. Do you like guns, Paul?
You know, I've been known to shoot a gun from time to time.
I want to say I'm ready for Mitten State. I probably could be better prepared. You know,
I'm not.
Before we get to Mitten State, I did something very cool. I helped out the gun community. We haven't talked about that yet.
Ooh.
We talked about it up until it happened, but we haven't talked about it since it happened.
Oh, the match you put on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a small breakdown here. If you've been listening to the podcast, you've been hearing me talk about how I've been shaking down the local board members at my local range, trying to defud the place, if you will, in the nicest way possible to say that. I've been on them for about a year about me just having a place to practice instead of driving an hour and 10 minutes to this other range I'm a member to. And, you know, a lot of talking, a lot of back and forth, a lot of him and hawing about, you know, well, this is what I do. I shoot competition. They're like, well, can you do something like that for us? Then, like, if you do something like that for us, then that's you getting your practice in here, which basically, in like a nutshell, is like spend 16 hours over your weekend putting this whole thing together to shoot with everybody for 4 hours. And then, you know, we'll reap the benefits and then you got your practice in. So it's not really working out for me, but I love it because I think we had 14 people, I think, ish, give or take, sign up. And they showed up and they had a blast. And it was everybody's first time besides Paul, myself, and Tommy, who, you know, Paul, you did a fantastic job ROing and helping me out on that. You were amazing. And all the written reviews I got from people were just talking so great about Paul, because Paul's a great dude.
I try sometimes.
Dude, you're amazing. But I just like all those first timers. Like, I remember when I was a first timer, my first competition, and just seeing like the look of like fear in everybody's face and like the unknowing of what's going to happen. And then the smiles and then when are we doing this again at the end was worth it. It was awesome. So I can't wait till next month when I go back to a board meeting and give them all these little review papers I had everybody sign out saying they loved it. They want to do more of it. And it was a great time because I feel like I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. If you want the culture to change somewhat, I mean, we're not talking about completely changing, but if you want older members to get with the times, I guess is what I'm trying to say here, you got to be the one to do it. You know, you can't just sit back there and bitch and complain, well, you guys aren't doing this and you guys aren't doing that, and then just go home. Like I said, dude, I've been on them for about a year at least about this, like constantly up them, you know, just when are we doing this? When can I do this? Let's do this. You guys should try this. You guys should try this. And like slowly but surely things are progressing at this range. Now, the sand pit I took you to, I think they got 6 bays there now, and the dirt walls are probably about 8 feet high on them.
Oh wow.
When I took you there, like a foot, maybe 2
feet.
Yeah. So now there's like wide open.
Now there's true bays that are there.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
So progression is being made at the local gun range because you got to put in the effort and you got to just hound people and be annoying as shit. And that's what I did.
Yeah. And I think you also made a good use case of, hey, here's what we have. Here's how we can use it.
Yeah.
And
I think
that was a little bit too simplistic, but it was like, we have all of this.
Yeah.
And there is a demand for it.
Yeah.
Because I think until it happens, it's kind of like, well, one person might show up.
Yeah, exactly.
50 people might show up.
They're like, just because you do it doesn't mean everybody else wants to. I'm like, yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They do, but you just don't give them an opportunity to.
And people really do.
Oh, yeah. And I think the final nail in the head was we went to Aurora to do a PR or two gun. I think we did the two gun that day. And I had a meeting that afternoon. And I went there and I was like, I was just at a place with 30 people. And they all paid $50 to go there. I was like, you do the math. I was like, and you know what? I'd probably half of them people, maybe a third, whatever. They all drove right past this place to go there.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, you guys just lost out on all that money. And then that was when they were like, whoa, hold on. People pay for this? I was like, yes. And you are losing out because you have
people pay a lot of money for that.
That's what I'm saying. And I was telling them that too. I was like, dude, I go to competitions and drop $100, $200. And then plus I'm there, and then plus I'm buying stuff from vendors when I'm there. I was like, you guys have the opportunity to do this. You just sit on your hands and complain that you're not getting any more members.
Well,
it's working out.
I mean, and as you saw, it does take a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
And it takes a lot of community relationship building, it's like the interpersonal aspect of it, which can be challenging because you have to... I mean, just like kind of like your workplace. Hey, you're managing a lot of different personalities and characters and wants and needs.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you have restrictions with things like insurance. and other costs that are associated with that. And then the public at large, because sometimes it looks like you're practicing little small unit militia tactics.
Yeah.
And, you know, then a picture comes up and all of a sudden you're having a conversation, you know, with a neighbor that's out there. So it is no small feat.
No.
In order to get a match like this off. And I think what a lot of people see is just the setup, tear down, and board meetings. And
they don't
see everything else that kind of goes around around outside of it. It kind of reminds me of what's that Rodney Dangerfield movie where he goes back to college?
Back to school,
where he's talking about where the professor's up front.
Teach him economics and all that. And he's like, no, you got to grease the dock workers.
Yeah,
and
you got to pay off your local politicians. You know, they're never going to work for anything like this. And the union guys are going to get them. I tell you what.
Yeah.
You know, it's like all of that kind of like background work where it's like, yeah, it is like getting to a yes takes a year.
Oh, yeah.
But then the rest of, like getting to that yes for that year, that's actually kind of like the hard part. The rest of it is just like, okay, now I can just kind of like outwork the problem.
Yeah.
You know, out there with your shirt off in the sun with buzzards circling.
Dude, it was brutal. So yeah, the event was Saturday. I took off the Friday before Saturday of work. I was out there at 9 a.m. I'm putting up fake walls. I'm moving barrels across town, you know, from this point to this point to get them, you know, to make stages with. I'm stapling cardboard all over the place. I'm one man driving all over this huge empty quarry, moving shit around. And I was there till about 5 o'clock. And then I went home and then I got up the next morning. I got out there at 7:00. And I think because we went and got tacos and the taco place closed at 7:30. So I think we got done at about 6:00. So I put in a good 16-ish hours, give or take, for nothing. You know, I mean, not for nothing. Okay. I'm just saying I didn't get paid. I did that on my own time. And like before that, it's answering emails and text messages to people asking questions about who, you know, what do we do? How do I sign up this, that, the other, handling payments, you know, like through various payment options. Oh, you can PayPal me. You can Venmo me. You can cash at me. You can do this. And then gathering all the money up, writing everybody's names down, texting people back, asking questions. And then Matt with an E, I think you're listening. You told me you listen. What's up, buddy? How you doing? And there's like, it is all worth it because of people like Matt with an E, right?
Yes.
Because Matt with an E now is hitting me up like, oh, man, like Thunder on the Tundra is close. And I want to do another competition, but it's full. Like, you know, what do I do? I'm like, bro, they fill up fast. I'm sorry. You know, I wish I could help you. But like now he's got the itch, you know, and that's good. We, you know, I'm sure there's other people because there's another guy, Alex, that's hitting me up. He's like, when's the next competition? I'm like, dude, I probably ain't got time till October to do another one. I'm sorry. But like if October goes well, maybe we can start making this like a monthly, bi-monthly thing next year. But like now people are interested. Now people got a taste just to see what it tastes like, you know?
Well, and also just like to see what it is because there's watching videos of it. And then there's actually being there and seeing what's going on. Because part of it, and we've talked about this before, a lot of people, I think, overestimate their skill.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think another part of it is that people underestimate what it takes to go to a competition.
Oh, yeah.
They underestimate themselves in terms of what it takes to go to a competition.
Right. Hydration is number one.
Hey, why do you think I'm chugging water right now?
Dude, me too, buddy.
More so what I'm talking about is like the equipment that's required.
Oh, yeah.
Equipment, time. And then I would say skill. Like you don't have to be like, well, I need to be able to do X in order to go shoot a competition. Now you have to be safe. Like you have to know how to handle your firearms. You have to have, you know, how to handle your equipment. You have to know how to handle, you know, kind of everything that goes along there. Yeah. There are some skills there. You don't have to be like, all right, I'm ready to go out and win one in order to then go and attend your first competition.
No.
It's like the barrier to entry isn't as high as I think some people would make it out to.
Right. It's fun. It's fun. Once you get into it, dude, you're like, okay, that was a pretty good time. I would love to do this again. At least I was. And now look at me. I plan all my vacation days yearly around what competitions I can make it to.
It's kind of what we do.
Yeah. But so like I said, like we got like, you know, everybody like even the people who were like, hey, I gotta go, like after we did like two or three stages. I think we only did four stages. Yeah, yes. Right. Yeah, I did four stages.
We only did four.
A variation of, you know, there was a close up, cardboard burn down, move your feet, you know, one cardboard targets, a somewhat long distance one, and it was all pretty, it was a good mixed bag, right? It there wasn't all the same.
There were some challenging targets that you had out there. I mean, we were shooting kind of like down into a gully at one point.
Yeah.
And I mean, those targets were actually pretty small.
Yeah.
And shooting off of a barricade for that too. So I think you have a video up on your YouTube channel about it, about how some of it looks, or maybe it's on your Instagram.
Really? I think it was on my Instagram or YouTube. No, Instagram and Facebook. I didn't do a YouTube video on it.
Okay. Well, I should on both of those, if anybody's curious as how they look, you know, you have some instances that are out there. I thought it was a great introduction.
Yeah.
And I think that also plays into the work that you did, because it's easy to create stages that you want to shoot.
Right.
And I think there's something to be said about that. Big John actually brought it up, where it's like, hey, when you're designing stages, they should be stages that you want to shoot. And you are the artist, and this is your canvas, and this is your time to kind of, you know, come up with something that is, you know, interesting and fun and dynamic. But I think that there's also something to be said about catering to your audience and knowing the people that are going to show up, because we could have come up with something that was very, very interesting that we really wanted to shoot that would have really challenged us. But that would have been to the detriment of the people who wanted to come up and shoot this match.
Right. It was an intro to competition shooting is what I labeled it as.
Yep.
That's why I gave a little sprinkle of everything. You had the long distance, you had the VTAC, you had some close up stuff, you had guessing, like with the, you know, the colors, like we had the one where you go over, grab a hockey puck, it's this color, you go to this ladder.
You had a dice roll that were there.
Yeah, don't shoot this. Yeah, I mean, it was fun. We've made it fun.
Yep.
And people enjoyed it. And I was even just at the range a few days ago and talking to Steve was there, who was at the competition.
Yes.
And he was asking about when the next one was. And I was like, well, it's going to have to be till October, and I'm going to have to get out there like a week before I set up just to see what they've done with the range, to see where I can do it, because I'd like to have it all closer together instead of everybody walking. Like, we literally walked that whole quarry. And he was like, oh, no, man, that wasn't a problem at all. The walk-in was fine. I was like, I thought it was good because it gives you time to talk and interact with the people you're shooting with.
Yeah.
Instead of everybody just standing there not talking to each other.
Yeah.
And I thought that was good. You know, you get the interactions of, like, you know, that's what you do. Like, my first competition, I didn't know anybody. By stage three, I wouldn't shut up. You know, I'm just talking to everybody because, you know, we walk from stage to stage, and I always have something to say.
People also, I think, really started to interact with each other. At first, it was kind of like, hey, these two guys are friends. These two guys know each other. Yeah. This guy's kind of on his own.
Everybody was sizing up.
But by stage two, by stage three, I think everybody kind of knew what it was about.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, saw you did that on this one. Saw you did that on this one.
Comfort level.
And they were talking to each other.
It was because, like, stage one, you're going to size up everybody who's shooting to see, okay, can I do this? And then once you realize everybody's, you know, give or take a couple points on your skill level, because nobody's ever done this before, then they were like, oh, okay, now let me talk to that guy because I just saw what he did.
Yep.
And so he's not that much better than me, but I got some work to do. Maybe I can ask him a question, you know. And that's how you learn, that's how you develop, that's how you get better at shooting, honestly, is talking to people, watching people. And like, I think the best thing I said during the safety brief, which I thought was hilarious, and I can't believe I've never heard an RO say this, but I thought it was great. There was, like, what I said, like 14 people. And I said, how many of you have your rifle zeroed? Everybody raised their hand. Like, oh, of course. Why wouldn't I? And then I said, okay, who wants to bet $50 that rifle is zeroed? And like, everybody with two people put their hands down. And then those two people at the very end, I said, so would you still bet that $50 that your rifle's zeroed? And one dude, Josh, he's a board member. He was the mole. I kept calling him the mole, you know, watching everybody. But I said, so is your rifle zeroed? He's like, I think my rifle is, but I sure as hell ain't. And I was like, all right, I'll give you that, you know, because like, I could go to the range and I could sit on a bench and I could hit shit all day with my rifle. But like, you get into competition.
Yeah,
it's a little different then.
Dudes watching dudes. You're on the clock. I mean, kind of the theme of this podcast.
Yeah.
But dudes. I thought it was a great event. I'm happy that people want to do more of it.
Yeah.
And I think that we can come up with some new interesting ways to keep people coming back.
I think once I go to this meeting and I just, in the nicest way possible, in case anybody's listening, throw it in their face in the nicest way possible. Look, this is what we did. Everybody loved it. Here's the results. Here's your money. I want to build more stuff and make this better. And yeah. I think that this could be something good, like something amazing in my town, which doesn't have anything like it, which yeah. I think will benefit myself as getting a closer place to practice. It'll benefit everybody else who participated because they'll have a place to do it and benefit the club by getting more members and getting more people, you know, actively joining the club and what's the word I'm here? Expressing their Second Amendment rights. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's a good thing overall. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And that's enough about me.
I mean, I think that there's a lot of people out there that can learn. And I mean, if you're having trouble at your own club,
yeah,
you know, trying to get stuff done or trying to get events yeah. going, try to find like-minded people. You know, I saw you out there kissing babies, shaking hands. Hey, mm-hmm. here's what I want to do. And I think that's the groundwork that you have to do. Yeah. You got to show up.
So and if you know me on a personal level, if we've ever talked at a competition or anything, and you know me, I'm a complete idiot. I say some stupid shit. I do weird things. So like, if I can make it happen, what's your excuse? You know, you could be like, man, Jamie's a complete moron and he's out there making changes. Like
the biggest piece of advice, and this is one thing that I think you did fantastic. Start small.
Yeah.
Your first match does not have to be Kalash Bash.
No, hell no.
Like you can start where it's like, we're going to give me one bay.
Yeah.
And 10 guys. And we'll put up a stage, shoot it, tear it down. Put up another one, shoot it, tear it down. Put yeah. up another one, tear it, shoot it down. Shoot it, tear it down. I got that reversed. Yeah. But like, you don't have to create a major match in order for it to be a success.
If you got a strong
start small group, and grow from there.
Yeah, if you got a strong group of like 5 to 8 guys, you can make it happen.
Oh yeah,
you can easily. Totally make it happen. You can just like I did. It was basically I got myself on probation at the range. I said, mm-hmm. let me try it. You guys observe. Tell me what you think. If you don't like it, I walk away. You know, and then. Like we had the mole, Josh, the guy who is the lead board member, mm-hmm. participate. And he was like, oh, no, definitely do as many of these as you want. I loved it. So like right there, like green flag, let's roll. Let's get it done.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and when you and I mean, again, proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
Look at the people that showed up. They liked it. They're coming together. And, you know, the community will support it.
Yeah. And I was just thank everybody who came out. If you're listening. I appreciate you wholeheartedly.
It was a great group of guys, truthfully. Yeah. Like I mean, one guy was shooting a grand.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Like it was.
And he just did it to have fun.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not here to compete. I don't expect to like beat anybody. He's like, I just love this rifle and I wanted to get out and shoot it.
Yeah.
I respect that 100%.
It kind of reinvigorated me. In a way that I wasn't expecting, where it was like, oh, these guys are really doing it for the love of the game and for fun.
Yeah.
And around that time, I was probably taking things, I'll say, a little bit too serious.
Oh, no.
To the point of like burnout. And like seeing that, I was like, hey, no, this is actually kind of what it's all about.
Yeah. Do you remember when competitions used to be fun, Paul?
Yeah, and I think we're here. Let's segue this because I think we're going to be going to a fun one this weekend.
Okay. Craig, Punisher 666, maybe not 666. I don't know. No, 1911 Punisher, something like that.
Okay.
On Instagram. I feel bad because I don't remember. It's Punisher something, 1911, I think. Mm-hmm. But he was the dude. He was in our squad last year. I think he was wearing the.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he was wearing the kilt or if he was wearing that at Masters. But anyways, he was just on a podcast. I listened to some of it the other day. And just some of the things they're talking about that are happening at Mitten State. Now, I could be wrong here. This is purely speculation on my end. I heard the word fuselage.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the word helicopter. So I don't know if that's a helicopter fuselage. Maybe put two and two together. Mm-hmm. There's a freaking roller coaster type deal going on this year.
I've seen that on their Facebook page. Yeah.
And so like... they were known for the golf cart drive-by, right? That's what sold me. That's what I...
The Argo, I think is what they called it.
Well, it was a golf cart, I think, the year previous. And that's what sold me. That's what I was telling you. I was telling Jeff. I was like, dude, they let you do drive-bys in a golf cart. We got to go.
Yeah.
And then last year was the Argo. And then so now it's like, they're like, hey, we got to like blow this thing out of the water because they're trying to... I mean, it's a huge... It's I wouldn't say it's a huge event. This is no Clash Bash. This isn't Kalashnikov, right? They're working on it, right? This is their... third or fourth year. I know I'm wrong with either of those.
It might be, I thought it was five for some reason, but I'm probably wrong there too.
It could be, but they're working on it. I mean, and this one sold out. I think Chad was on that podcast too, who puts it together, and he was saying, I think he said like 45 minutes it sold out.
Yes. Yeah. We were driving back from Masters and we actually pulled over just outside of like Gatlinburg, Tennessee, to make sure that we were able to sign up. Yeah. I mean, we were texting you and I think we've got a great squad of guys for this one, but going back to last year, I think you and I were both kind of like, all right, it's close. It's one day.
Yeah.
Let's give it a shot.
Hell yeah.
And I think, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, I think we were both impressed, surprised at number one, how innovative and fun a lot of the stages were.
Yeah.
And how nice the range was. Like I felt like they had it really kind of put together, and just the overall match flow.
Right.
One day match was very, very good. And I think that that speaks to the effort that a lot of their team puts in. So I've seen a lot of the same things that you're seeing in terms of like fuselage and the roller coaster that they've got. So I am very, very excited to see what their team put together. Also to be shooting it with a lot more people that I like to shoot with. Not that we had a small squad last year, but I mean, I think there were five of us, and I think now we're like the majority of our squad that's going.
Yeah. I just had somebody reply on my Instagram video about how I hate my Wasser underfolder.
Ooh.
I've been getting a lot of mixed comments on that. This dude just commented, dude, it's a weapon, not a recliner. What do you want to be comfortable about it? And I said, I want Sleep Number comfort. That was my reply.
That is, let's talk about Mitten State, and then I want to talk about that.
Because
I've got some dumbass comments that we can say there. But we've got Mitten State coming up this weekend. Yep. I am not ready. Coming off of the 4th of July, I am incredibly busy with work. There's just been a lot of changes that have been going on there. I have a rifle that is zeroed. I'm going to be shooting the Krebs M23 and 5.56.
Oh.
I am very confident in that rifle.
There you go.
I've been putting a lot of time with it. I've got ammo for it. I've got the right mags for it. There it is. Krebs Custom. But
I work there, so I get a t-shirt.
I've got one. Mine's green and I don't work there.
I've got a green one too. I got a handful of them.
But so typically what I like to do kind of the week of is I just lay out everything in my basement that I'm gonna bring. And I've got a big duffel bag.
Yeah.
And I've got like the fix-it sticks, not like the actual ones, but like what I need to kind of maintain to have everything going there. I've got all of my clothes laid out. I've got shoes, socks, sunscreen.
You're talking like about not being ready, dude. You are like ready.
I've done none of this.
Oh
yeah. So this is okay.
Me neither.
This is typically what I like to do the week of the competition.
Yeah.
So then it's like, okay, do I need batteries? Do I need ibuprofen? Do I need like everything that kind of goes along with that? And I haven't done any of that because I was coming off the 4th. I'm kind of scrambling, dude, trying to get ready for it. So where I'm at right now, I'm probably going to get to the range tomorrow night just to make sure that everything's set.
Yep.
I'm not bringing a backup gun because don't have anything that I think I can get ready in time.
Okay.
So that is also one where I'm kind of like, it's one day. I'm pretty sure that I'll be able to kind of like get my way through it. I'm trusting the M23 in this one. Last year, I only brought one gun and I was fine. Wow. The round count isn't super high.
What is it?
I think it's in the 300 range,
that
somewhere around in there.
I will be bringing enough ammo.
So I'll probably be bringing about 750 rounds. And I've always got a lot of, I've got most of that loaded currently just because I was going to the range and then I didn't shoot as much as I thought I was going to. So I've got that ready. But me physically, I'm probably doing okay. I was probably feeling a little bit better physically coming into this last year. I was sick for a lot of last week. Yeah. So I'm just kind of getting over that this week. And I kind of feel the pressure coming down because I haven't done like the prep that I've wanted to do up to this point in time.
I feel you. Like right now, it's typical with me, week, 2 weeks before competition is me going to the range multiple times in a weekend. Like I think my kid moved out on the 5th. 4th of July in the morning, I went once in the morning. I think it was like 9 o'clock. I was like there from 9 to like 11:30. Came home, ate, probably took a nap because it was hot as hell out. And then I waited till I think 5 o'clock and I went back to the range. And this is like when I get in arguments with the old lady about why are you going back to the range? I got to re-sight in. You just went this morning. Yeah, I got to make sure that it's still holding. You know, it's like I get very superstitious and weird. And like I felt good because Sully commented on my Instagram that I said a while ago before KCON. I said I have to go to the range to reconfirm that I reconfirmed my reconfirmed zero. And I was, you know, getting in arguments because I'm going every day for like the last 3 days. And he's like, I do the same thing. And I'm like, oh, thank God it's not just me.
Yeah.
Right. But I will be, this is my dilemma that I tell everybody who listens and watches not to do. Pick a rifle, get used to it, use it. Once again, rifle, what am I trying to think here? A word. Unsure. I'm unsure. Okay. Not really. I got this one right here.
Yep.
That's a secret weapon. You probably know what it is. If you're not watching,
I can guess.
I'm not. Yeah, you're probably right. I'm not going to say it out loud, but that's my secret weapon. Okay.
Right on.
Got that hitting stuff. I'm going to go again tomorrow. Make sure everything's good. I took it out one day. I got a call about it today. I was like, dude, I took it out once. I was like, I haven't got behind it a lot. I'm going to go again tomorrow. I'll call you. Mm-hmm. And then I got the 103, which is killer. I mean, 4-inch plates at 100 yards, no problem. Just ting, 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 ting. And then I've got the Circle 10, same thing. I can hit 4-inch at 100 yards, no problem. I love it. I want to get as comfortable with this thing as I am with those two because I want to use this. But, like, I don't have anything picked. I don't have clothes laid out. I don't have my range bag ready. I don't have shit ready. I'm working 8 hours tomorrow, which is an early day for me. And then I'm coming home and I just, it's go time. Like I'm going to hit the ground running as soon as I get in the house and start getting shit ready. Cause Friday I have to go pick up the rental. I have to go pick up Jeff and then we're headed out and I hope I do well. I hope everything works out for me and everybody else that's with us. But, I'm mentally, I feel like I'm ready. Like, I feel like, all right, I can physically I'm okay. It's been like a hellish 3 weeks at work. It's just hot, sweating my ass off. I probably lost a few pounds easily just from sweating. Mm-hmm. Like I have to wear long sleeve shirts and pants all day at work. I'm just soaked at the end of the day, just sweaty. But I feel like I'll be doing okay. I've been pounding water and like, you know, all these hydration drinks like crazy lately. In the last like 4 days, I've just been chugging. I read the weather report there. It's going to be terrible.
I laughed
my ass off today. I looked at the AccuWeather for the weather there, and it was like Saturday, humid, hot, 83 degrees, 3-mile-an-hour wind, chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon.
Okay.
And then I was like, okay, well, maybe we'll be done by the afternoon. And then it was like late afternoon, severe storms, you know, possible, what was the word it said? It said something about like severe downpours, windy. And I was like, that's going to be an amazing ride home. Going to be an amazing ride home.
The real feel is going to be 96, real feel in the shade 89.
Yeah.
Which if you're listening in the Southwest, obviously probably doesn't mean anything to you.
It's all about the real feel though. I could give a shit what the temperature is. Tell me the real feel.
Warm and humid with clouds and sun, a heavy thunderstorm late in the afternoon. Thunderstorms can bring flooding, downpours, hail, and damaging wind gusts.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be an awesome ride home. I have a feeling it's going to take a lot longer to get back than it did last year. Me and Jeff are going to be eating Wendy's, freaking out, dude, driving like 30 miles an hour in a hurricane.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I said Wendy's, all right?
I could go for a Baconator right now. That actually sounds
pretty
good.
That's after the match. Like right now, I've been eating nothing but like what I just had for dinner. Steak and eggs. I ate steak and eggs this morning. I'm on like the steak and egg kick.
Nice.
Tomorrow, I'll probably be just like chicken and a salad, you know, and then like some yogurt maybe the morning of. Maybe a protein bar while I'm at it. And then like just go. It's go time. Just pounding water. Maybe a Rice Krispies treat. I always do Rice Krispies treat during competition. But like I'm trying to not eat like a slug. I'm not in the best shape, and that's on me. But I'm not weighing myself down with a pizza before we go. But
no, we did that last year.
Yeah. And well, that's why I told Jeff, because last year, we didn't get there last year till like 9-10 o'clock.
Yeah, you guys were pretty late.
Yeah, and all that was open was a pizza place. So we had no choice. It was pizza. So I told Jeff, I'm picking you up like before noon, because he's got the day off on Friday. I got the day off Friday.
Nice.
And I was like, and we're getting there at a decent time in the middle of the evening to where we can find something reputable to eat instead of, you know, I got this gas station roller thing.
Hungry Howie's pizza.
Yeah, yeah, Hungry
Howie's. Not that the pizza was bad, but that was definitely not
the right move. Not that it was good either, but it wasn't the right move.
No, no. You got to set yourself up for success.
Yeah.
And I think that is more so where I'm focused right now is like, I know that I haven't done all of the perfect prep.
Right.
That like, say what I had done for Masters or what I had done for K-Cons in the past. Because I do want to treat this like a major, you know, even though it is just like a 1-day event, I want to take it seriously. We're traveling for
100%.
It. 100%. You know, I'm taking some time off work for it.
Yep.
So I think that I'm going to try to scale back a little bit. Not necessarily my expectations, but just like, okay, how can we break this down even further? And I think one of those is just like, hey, don't stay up till 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Eating Hungry Howie
House pizzas. I don't care if it's got the honey glazed crust. Which
no, we did get wings though.
We did get wings.
We did get wings. We got that wing money. We did get wings. But
the crazy thing is, like, yes, I want to do good. Yes, I want to take it seriously. But I feel, and I hate saying this, and it's like, I feel me going out there and focusing, I don't focus 100% on the match when I'm at matches, right? I should be 100%. I honestly am probably 60 to 75% on the match, and the rest of it is like record something. You have to record something.
Yeah, that's tough.
It is. It's rough. It's like, because I'll be recording other people shoot. I'll record myself off in the corner talking to myself, and then it's like, instead, I should honestly be focusing on, all right, like I'm like, this year, like, honestly, I need to take stage plan, like, more serious. Like, when they're like, walk the stage. Because I'll just do, like, a hot lap, maybe two, and I'll be like, all right, I got it. This is what I'm going to do. Like, I need to, like, seriously, like, you know, beautiful mind that thing and really, that's like, really, break it down.
That's really what I've been trying to focus on this year at all the matches that I shoot is, like, coming up with that stage plan and then sticking with it.
Yeah.
I think it worked out well for me at Masters. And I think that at Mitten State, based on what they did last year, having a good stage plan is beneficial. And yeah, I don't feel like it's going to be bad, but
I don't feel like I did terrible at Mitten last year, but I feel like I know what brought me down for the most part was the first I ran out there. Oh, look, Craig just messaged me. I ran out there with a rifle that I wasn't ready with. And I was like, I'm just going to make it work. And then it didn't work. And that was first stage. And it just like messed my mojo up, which is I get in my head very easily, which I need to really, really focus on not doing. That's why I have Gorilla Mind energy drinks to stay focused and have clarity.
We're going to start pushing supplements.
It's dude. Have you had a Gorilla Mind?
No, I don't.
You're lucky. I just went to the GNC and bought five of them. All right.
I don't drink energy drinks at all.
It's not an energy drink. It's a mind drink, okay?
Wow.
Yeah. But it's like, I need to get out of my head. I know that's a huge thing because the worst case of it was last year.
I pulled it up. Last year, we took 6th and 7th.
Really?
Yeah, in division.
See, I got to push that, dude. I got to push that.
So we were 75% of the leader.
Oh, I got to push that.
I don't want to say, hey, I have to come in hard, 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 hard.
I'm not coming in hard. I just want to focus a little more.
Yeah.
I feel like if I can stay out of my head
and
focus, I feel like I'm not saying I'm taking anything home. I just feel like I could do better. And that's all I try to do is I look at what I did the year previous and I just want to do better than I did. And so far it's working out, except for Sunday at KCON this year. But so far it's been working out.
I'm shooting in a different division this year too. Cause I think we're,
you're mutant.
I'm in mutant. I'm not in modern because standard. I'm shooting 5.56.
Nope. 7.62. That's what I shoot because, I like tele ammo.
Ooh, yeah. Tell me more about this tele ammo.
I will tell you a lot. Tele-ammo is fantastic. And if you don't know, you can save yourself a little bit of money by not using the code SAVAGE25 at teleimpex.com.
If you don't want to save any green by shooting green,
right?
Do not go to teleimpex.com. Now, do not put 1,000 rounds in your cart and do not use SAVAGE25.
You can put, I think the minimum is 10. 10
boxes, rounds?
10 boxes.
Oh,
I think there's a minimum.
They just cut the box in half.
Basically,
and they're like, here you go. Here's a third of a mag.
Basically, my code helps you, might help you on shipping, and it might give you a few free boxes when you buy something. So please, if you're in need of some 7.62, you know what to do. Teleimpex.com, code SAVAGE25. I will be shooting 7.62 by 39 is what I was
getting. There's only one other thing that I want to talk about with Mitten.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's criticism, and I don't know if I really care
let it out.
That much.
Is it the hot dogs last year?
No, they have an AR division.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big division. I don't know how it tallies up with everybody else. I understand that there's a concern about, hey, we got to make sure that there's enough people that come and shoot this.
I think there is.
With the way that they sell out and how fast they sell out.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that if they don't do this, I will never shoot this again. I personally really do enjoy the match. I'm hoping for another great one, but I'm hoping that they might be able to transition this into more of a Comblock focus match,
right?
And not have an AR division.
I think we talked about this last year because Paul, we've been doing this podcast for over a year now.
Been around
for some stats in a little bit, but I think the whole reason behind all of this was because it was their first, you know, they were trying to get the competition up and running, so they just were like, we got to make sure we fill this, right? Mm-hmm. We got to make sure, you know,
which I completely understand.
Bums in seats,
yep,
right? And I mean, they're selling out in 45 minutes this year. I mean, granted, yeah, some of the people are shooting ARs, it's fine, whatever, you know, but I feel that now they've gotten enough people talking about it, enough people know about it. I've heard people who haven't shot it talking about how they want to, you know, attempt to get there. And I don't think they'd have a problem if they con blocked it. I'm not saying they have to. I get it. You don't want to
castrate
half your audience.
No. And if the difference between you and your buddy shooting it is, well, you got to have an AR division. Yeah. Also, you know what? Ultimately, it's your match, it's your club.
Do what you
and
want.
If you and this is the royal you, but like if the staff deems like, hey, no, this is kind of part of what we want to do here. You know who are we to poo poo it?
Yeah, I'm just an idiot.
It is a little bit like, all right. When a guy shows up and he's just got an AR with three red with an LPVO, two red dots, a big unrivaled break, and a D60 sticking out of the bottom, and then he just goes and then he's like, well, I just won a high overall. It's like, well, all right.
Speaking of unrivaled, if you guys are listening, we got to get you on this podcast, Kyle.
I'm starting to come around to the break idea.
Yeah,
which I know is like kind of saying like, you know what, this email thing, there might be something to this. But the more that I play around with it, the more that I'm interested in it. And I think that Unrivaled, just from what I've seen in the rifles that I've shot, I think that they have the most interesting break on the market. just terms of like what the output is. And I'm very curious as to, you know, where they can kind of take it from there.
Dude, I absolutely love it. Love it.
Anything else you want to talk about on Mitten State? Otherwise, I'm pretty excited. I mean, I'm ready to go. It's going to be a fun drive. I get to go past probably one of my favorite burger places, which is in Nabimoway, Michigan, which is in the UP. A little spot called Moo and Fries.
Moo and Fries?
Moo and Fries.
Like moo, like a cow?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I stopped there last year, and it was one of the best burgers I think I've ever had. Nice little spot right off the highway. If you're ever going through that area of the UP, it's pretty much going in between the Sioux and like Escanaba. If you're on the South Shore, but Sault Ste. Marie.
Okay.
Sioux are so fucking good.
The Sioux are so good, dude.
So fucking good. But like part of this trip also for me, number one, getting to hang out with you guys and shoot a fun match.
Absolutely.
But then it's also, I go through the UP, which in my opinion is one of the more beautiful areas that you can travel through in the United States. I get to go over the Mackinac Bridge, and then I get to go through northern lower Michigan, which sounds like an oxymoron, but is also a beautiful area of the country. So I'm really excited for that as well.
I'm excited to hang with the boys, dude. As always, I'm excited to hang with the boys. I'm excited to shoot. I'm excited to have a good time. I'm pumped.
You want to talk about underfolders now?
No, I don't. I hate them. I hate mine. All right. Let's be clear on that. I hate my underfolder. And I'm not breaking the bank here or quitting my job, but I made a video on how much I dislike my underfolder. And the comments have been, all right, I'm not gonna lie, I was a little worried at first because I was talking to Bolts and Holes, and he was asking me questions about his camera, this, that, the other, you know, we're just BSing. And I said, oh, I'm actually editing a video right now about how much I hate my underfolder. He's like, really? I was like, yeah. He's like, I actually like my underfolder. I was like, what? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh shit, am I gonna make a video that everybody's gonna dog
which
on?
Which underfolder does he have?
He was talking about the same one I have, a Romanian one.
Oh, so with the weird slant to it?
Yes. And so like I was surprised that my video is actually like, I've been slacking in YouTube, I'm not gonna lie. I used to be an every other week guy. Now like this year I've been lucky to get like one a month because I just been working my ass off. I've been
roughing these
podcasts.
Streets.
I've been just, dude, I've got so much going on, this damn range thing. I always put more on my plate when I don't even have enough time to finish what I have. It's insane. But the video's been doing great. I mean, I've got like 3,000, almost 4,000 views at this point. And the comment section is like, so many people are agreeing with me. Like, dude, I hate those things too. And oh yeah, dude, just sell it. Oh man, those are the worst. And I've never had an underfolder I wanted to shoot more than one mag out of. And I'm like, okay, this is going good. People are enjoying this. So I don't like my underfolder at all. It's not that I don't like it. I don't like shooting it. It's a great gun. It works. You know, it does what it's supposed to. All right. It shoots fine. It's just, it's the stock drives me nuts.
And you brought it up by a comment that somebody had made that you were looking at earlier in the podcast where people are like, they're not supposed to be comfortable. What are they supposed to be then?
Yeah. Why do I want an you got this rifle. It should be uncomfortable. The hell it should.
No, should
not for what I paid for it.
There should, it should not inhibit you from hitting what you're shooting at. And good. I don't video think quality. That is this 4K. Should be. Oh, 1080 60. Nice.
I'm a 1080 60 guy.
Thank you for uploading in 60 frames a second. There's no reason to not upload in 60 frames a second anymore.
Yeah. Look at that dude's arm. Does he lift?
He might.
It's just the angle of it and like the actual back of the stock itself. It's just like a weird horseshoe that you have to like, and like I say in the video, like you can't be a bony fella. Like you gotta have you gotta have some meat there. You know, gotta have something.
I also you have to put your face in the correct position every time.
Yeah.
And it's like, kind of floating, like what you were just doing right there. It's kind of like you either got to get like really into it or you have to like do kind of like a weird float kind of
it's
thing.
It's like Rodrigo said, he's like, you have to be a hunchback to shoot that thing. And like, you really kind of do. You got to like kind of lean over it a little bit. Like I mean, it doesn't shoot terrible. It's fine, but it's just, it's an uncomfortable thing. Like I have plenty other rifles that feel way better against the arm and to shoot with.
In the era of modern composites,
yeah.
Why like from a competition
aspect. Because it's old and no, definitely never.
Yeah. From a competition aspect of it, it's just like, okay, you're not shooting something that's optimal.
And you know what?
I could get it where it's just like, hey, I got to go hike for, you know.
Yeah. Putting this in my backpack.
We'll see what M26 has to say about this. Yeah. But it's like, hey, I got to go hike and I got to go like do a lot of stuff. And maybe my primary function isn't just going to be hammering rounds down range. Hey, right. Having something that folds up and it's a little bit more compact and it's lighter weight, I could see the net benefit of that.
Yeah.
But something where it's like, if my cheek is in the wrong spot, I'm gonna get my lip busted. It's
terrible.
I just like, I don't know. Maybe
look at the flies on my hat. There's the fly issue going on at the range. That look, I got two of them just hanging out. Oh, people geez, probably think I stink, and I don't. I showered before I went out there that morning. But it's not the best. It's not the absolute worst by any means. I mean, it functions. It's not like it doesn't cycle. It doesn't work. It works. It works just fine.
You got the reverse dong on there, which is always a vibe.
Yeah. And you know what? There was another comment. They're like, it's just a vibe. That's all it is. That's all an underfolder is. It's like, it's a nice show piece. It's a nice conversation piece. It's nice to say you have one to have one, you know?
Yeah. But I think it would be nice to compare underfolders for what's out there. You know, Zestavis got their underfolders.
Well, and that's more straight. Like that and Polish ones, they're straight back.
Yeah. And I think that would be interesting to see what compares. Isn't Pioneer Arms, they were dead, but now they're back.
Yeah, now they're back.
But then they had like a 5.56 underfolder. I think there's a Chinese. The Chinese obviously have a lot of underfolders that are out there too.
Yeah. I'll have to try and get a straight one, and then I'll revisit that.
I'd be interested to see if that changes your opinion. I don't think that it is going to make you be like, man, I want everything to be an underfolder.
If it has that same horseshoe, like I've shot a side folder that's got like the crutch.
Yeah.
And I like that better because it's like flat against you. It doesn't dig in like in a weird, like it doesn't brand you.
Yeah.
Like a horseshoe does.
I feel like it almost makes it a little bit more rocky, like flippy.
Yeah.
Which is just like a feeling. It's a vibes based thing again.
Right.
But it's if you are tying your personality to a purchase, go get a job because you've got too much time on your hands. Like if you're like, I'm going to ball out and I'm going to defend these underfolders.
Yeah.
Take on more responsibility at work.
Yeah.
Because you've got too much time thinking about other stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I said, you know, Cliff Notes, I don't hate the gun. I hate shooting it.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Dude, there are some guns that are just unpleasant to shoot.
Yeah. Like my WBP when I first bought it. I hated that damn thing. It was brutal. It was brutally overgassed and just kicked the shit out of me. K&S piston later. It's fantastic. I love it.
And I think that
was another thing. I'm sorry, but that was another thing when I first bought that WBP and I was making a video like, God, this thing just kicks like a mule. It's brutal. And everybody in the comments is like, oh, you're being a sissy. It's supposed to be like that. It's an AK. And I was like, nah, man, this is like bad. And then 6 months later, Arms of America is like, we're selling WBPs with K&S pistons in them. I'm like, gee, I wonder why that is. You know, I was like, I was saying this 6 months ago. And now everybody's on Reddit like, oh, you can get them with K&S is already in them. I'm like, yeah. Because they're brutal.
I don't think every AK needs an AK K&S.
No, I mean I've got some that are fantastic.
But it's never
USA.
It's never going to be like a necessarily well, it can be a detriment sometimes, but like it's not your. That's the other thing is it's like it's not your gun.
Yeah.
Like if I want to put a K&S in it. That's fine.
Yeah, don't tell me what spoiler to put on my car. It's my car. If I want a spoiler that's 4 feet off the back hood or, you know, the trunk, that's what I want. It keeps me low to the ground.
Yeah. You know? Hey, I don't really like shooting underfolders, but I can appreciate an underfolder. I can, you know, I can see like where
people appreciate them. I get it. I understand why they were invented. I understand it. It's fine. It's just not for me.
Yeah. If we were to rank stocks. Of like the ones that we like.
Underfolders at the bottom. Underfolders at the bottom.
Think underfold. Yeah.
Stock. No stock is at the bottom.
Yeah.
Like, no stock AKs.
Yeah. No stock.
Like, I shot that with it folded and it was terrible.
No stocks at the bottom. Then I would do underfolder. Then the like like the crank skeleton stock, I think is in there for me because it's because it's so short.
Yeah, but it's a crank.
That like is, my, but my that's case, kind of a vibe. That's kind of a vibe.
Yeah, but like, too. But if it's like a real crank, if it's like 5.45, it's not bad because it's not like beating the shit out of you. Like if it's like short, like a M85, no, not a 92, like just a short 7.62. Like my, it's in the safe. My 92 is, I want to put a KNS in that too because it's brutal.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is what it is. It's a short 7.62. What the hell do you expect? But my Galil is amazing. And that's like an 8-inch barrel. And that thing's 7.62. And it's fantastic. But well, it's
a little bit more Galil. Probably went into designing that than
some of these just other better because it's a Galil. I said
it. As is always the case.
Yeah.
Fight me. But once we get past those kind of stocks,
yeah.
I kind of don't care.
Yeah, no, it don't matter.
They all kind of work. It's fine.
Wood stock, folding stock, aluminum stock, you know.
Yeah. I think I've got AR stocks on a lot of things, which a lot of people are probably going to poo-poo. But
dude, I have an AR stock. I have one AR stock on an AK, and it's on my Circle 10, and I love it.
I've got this big, chunky steel thing that's from Circle 10, which is no longer a company because they got sued by the actual Circle 10, I want to say.
Is it Triangle?
Yeah.
I have one of those, and I took it off because no matter how much I tightened it, it was just loose. Like it was too small to fit in the receiver.
That happened with mine too. Mine was too big, so I got lucky. But I have to like hammer that thing on.
Yeah. I actually bought another one because the one I had was all metal. Mm-hmm. Like there was no pad on the back. But there's a company in Illinois, you know, hometown, mm-hmm. that Fats Tactical. They make a triangle stock that's just like one of them Circle 10 ones with a pad on the back. And it's not that much money. And it's actually pretty well built. I actually bought one. And it's about the same dimension as the Circle 10, like to a T, but with a pad on the back.
Oh, stocks we don't like. I don't really like braces.
I can't argue with that when I live in Illinois.
Yeah. I understand like the place that they kind of like hold. Yeah. But there are some of them where I'm like, this is...
My KP9 brace, like... It was like the top part of it was like mostly rubber. So it's kind of flexy. And I'm like, but it's 9mm. So you don't really need to, you know, and embrace it as much as like if it wasn't a 9mm.
Yeah.
But now I got like the J-Max stock on there, which is nice. But like the CNC Warrior ones aren't bad because those are basically like a, like kind of a knockoff, like old school Galil stock.
Yeah. Just like they're not bad, but they're not great either.
It is what it is.
They just kind of occupy like a weird spot.
They fill a void.
They do. I understand why they exist. I hope that we don't have to continue using them.
You and me both, brother.
For that much longer. But
Paul, let's talk about ourselves because I pulled some stuff up here. We've been doing this podcast. Here, let me see when the first episode was. We've been doing this for a while.
Would have been June 2024.
I believe so. Yes. Let's see more here. Let's see. I think we have on the YouTube, let me do all time here. How many videos do we have on the YouTube? Oh my goodness. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 20, 21. I lost count.
That makes sense. Every 2 weeks, and we've been doing it for a year, 52 weeks in a year. You know, we probably took off around Christmas.
Oh, man, look at you go. Paul dropping knowledge. But, okay, you go on the...
dates. On,
yeah. Mathing it up. Just letting everybody know how smart he is. You go on the YouTube, all right? We have... How do I get out of this screen now? Damn it. I don't know what I just did. Let me go back to this. We have 79 subscribers on the YouTube, and thank all of you wholeheartedly, 100%. Ooh. You are the best. I appreciate you very much. And if you haven't subscribed and you're watching and or listening, hit the subscribe button. Doesn't cost you anything. It helps us out a lot. I know you hear everybody else say that, but it's the God honest truth. But yeah, not bad on the YouTube. 79 subscribers. You hit the Spotify. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Been doing it for a year. 1,200 streams. That's 100 a month. I'm proud of that.
Pretty good.
Not bad. Good. Not bad. Our overview, 50. Oh, no, wait. How many followers do we have? 55? That's in the last 30 days. I can't navigate through this BS. We have subscribers, all right? And we'd like more. That's all I'm saying. And we appreciate everybody who already has, because you guys are great. This has only given me, Spotify only gives me like, oh no, there's all time right there. 56 subscribers, 1400 plays. Yeah, I mean, we're not doing too bad. And then onwards and upwards. Like, yeah, 1200. It's about the same if I go to this other website that tells us stuff. So I, you know, we're doing all right. You know, we're not Joe Roganing, but there's people listening and I appreciate all of you. You guys are great. Please give us some feedback though.
And yeah, and like,
comment section is free. Leave a comment. You want us to talk to somebody, shout their name out. I'll hound them on Instagram as much as I can because I'm good at that. We'll try to get people on here that you want to hear us talk to.
We've had a lot of good conversations with people. Dude. I also want to say thank you to the people that have come on, because it's a lot of time.
I'm still honestly amazed some of the people that say yes when I just keep, you know, bugging them for like a month or so. Like, hey, you want to do this podcast? Hey, you want to do this podcast?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, there's just some people on here who I'm like, really? You will? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's awesome. And yeah. It kind of blows my mind.
I will say that I've learned a lot, too. Like, I a lot of the conversations that we've had, I'm like, oh, yeah, I probably would have never thought about it that way.
Oh, yeah. Especially, like, with Neil. Neil's a great conversationist.
Neil, I really enjoyed.
Joey Diaz let us in on some pistol game. Like, Josh. Yep. Josh was dropping knowledge.
Yep.
H-Town's a great dude to talk to. He was giving us some interesting facts. Clay, you know, Adam. I mean, Moisha. This is the two-parter with Moisha. Holy shit, did I learn some stuff with Moisha.
Yeah, that's the one where it's just like, hey, do you want to kind of start being serious about competition? Go listen to those two, because that's really the way to get into it.
Like, dude, honestly, like Moisha, like I never really talked to the guy, right? I do now. Still very rarely, because I only see him at competition settings, and he's always in the zone, okay? Mm-hmm. So like getting him outside of there and just like getting down to earth with the dude and talking to him was a mind blower. And he takes it serious.
He does.
And he like, you know, listen to this, read up on this, you know, look into this. And I'm like, okay. And then after a while, I'm like, hey, you know, maybe I will look into what Moisha was saying. And like, I listen to that Steve Anderson podcast every now and then. And like that dude, he was just like, don't be negative. You know, you shit the bed on one stage, leave it there. He's like, because if you keep talking about it and you keep bringing it up to other people, man, did you guys see me mess up on that stage? He's like, that's all that's going to be in your head. He's like, leave it alone. It's done. It's not going to fix itself. You already did it. Do better on the next one. And I was like, man, I got to stay positive. This dude's right. And like, I tried that KCON. I was, you know, listening to that all 8 hours on the way there. Like, all right, man, this is it. You know, get out of your head. And the I thought I did. Yeah, I didn't do too bad. Winter KCON.
No,
I mean, I didn't take home any neck trophies or anything, but
that was a rough match too.
Yeah.
Like that was a hard, cold match.
Yeah. The night one was brutal.
Dude, that
it was like, what, 4 degrees?
Yeah. That'd be
at night.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot of things you can learn by listening to past episodes. And we just appreciate everybody who listens, all the guests who've been on here. And we've been doing this for a year. And as long as Paul keeps saying, yeah, I'm free on Wednesday or Thursday, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep doing it.
Hey, we'll keep it going. Most people fail. It's like less than 5 episodes or something like that. So
yeah,
we're in the top 1%.
Forget about it, dude. We're going somewhere.
To the moon, Alice, to the moon.
But another person I want to get on here is Mark Grimley, Fit and Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Because at KCON, he was I got to reach back out to him and talk to him. I just don't have time, and I don't like bothering like people. Well, I do like bothering people, but like when somebody tells me something, I don't like asking them about it again, because then I feel like a dumbass because I forgot. For real. Like he was like telling me, go to this website. They'll put your stuff up. It's like basically he was telling me about a website that is like a host to a lot of shooting podcasts. Right. It's like,
so you can go to this website, your RSS feed or something like that.
But something like that. Yeah. Like you can go to this website and they'll say, hey, look, there's all these people talking about competition and stuff and guns. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay. And Mark's like, dude, once you get on there, he's like, our numbers went up. We got a, you know, nice spike in the audience. And I was like, oh, sweet. And I don't remember anything he told me.
But whenever you start something like this.
Yeah.
The question you always have to ask yourself is, what if we blow up? Are we ready for that?
I'm not. Not at all. I'm happy with my small little followers on YouTube and everything else. I think that's just fine for me.
I really feel like we've kind of cultivated a little bit of a like niche audience where it is like,
and I appreciate it.
Like the people that we talk to and talk about, it's like, it's kind of the whom's.
The people who listen to us are the people we talk to and probably their friends. And I'm fine with that.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, if I got, you know, if I made one video and it just hit the fan and everybody's like, oh, my, how come we have never known about this guy or this podcast? I would be the type of guy with a caddy at competitions who pays my targets for me. I would be like, Jeeves.
Don't talk to me.
The 103, please. You know, and I it would he'd pull, like, the sock off of it.
Dude, that would... know? That would honestly be probably the biggest flex that you could possibly do.
A pasting caddy?
Like you, or, but you
try talking my kids into it.
They so you have, it. You have one person that carries around like an umbrella and your rifle and your ammo and everything for you. And then you have somebody in your stead going up and like pasting and like going around. But I would,
as I sit in the chair,
would you want them to be in like a tux? So like more of like a manservant type of environment, or would you want them to be in like a master's like boiler suit?
I would happy
Gilmore like a true caddy environment.
No, I would happy Gilmore, and I would do it in the best, funniest way. I would find somebody who looks like they're down on their luck in any city I go to for a competition. I pull into Missouri to go to KCON. I find somebody at a exit off the highway with a sign.
You anything can employ helps. Half the state of Missouri doing this.
That's dude. I'm saying I'll anything helps. Hey, buddy, get in here. You know, here's a sandwich. Here's a tuxedo shirt. What's your name? Craig. Your name is Jeeves. Okay. Your name now is Jeeves. And I would run them through like, I need you to do this for me this weekend. Here's a couple $100. Mm-hmm. Comb your hair, please. You don't have to shave. But you can hang out with me this weekend, buddy. Just don't steal anything from me. And that's what I would do. I would employ the less fortunate and teach them the paste. And then I would drop them back off on the same exit as I was on my way back home and be like, here's
it's going to be kind of wild when this happens.
It's not going to happen.
Not that we blow up, but that we start employing people.
Yeah.
Like that.
It'd be funny.
I think that'd be really funny to go to, but
can you imagine going to a competition and like, who's that homeless guy walking behind Jamie? That's his caddy.
But also don't do it at like a major, do it at like your local match. Like just go and like, it's just like a bunch of old guys at like IDPA or USPSA. Yeah. And then like big time everybody for no reason because it costs you $30 to go to this match. And then like have a tent that just like moves around with you.
Yeah.
And have like five of them and just be like, they will be pasting for me today.
Yeah.
Any questions, please talk to Jeeves number one. And if he does not provide a sufficient answer, do not talk to me.
Or like, do I employ like somebody who really knows what they're doing? Like, do I get like a smart guy, collared shirt, the little wind meter? You got a 5 mile an hour coming from the east.
While you're smoking paper at 5 yards.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's doing wind calls with a Kestrel, and then it's just, and then it's literally just like a hoser stage with six targets like right in front of you. There's no distance at all.
Aim dead center. Okay, thank you. You know? Be picking grass up and throwing it in the air, looking at the wind.
Dude, but imagine if you gave that guy a megaphone and then you didn't have to stage plan at all. He just stage planned for you. And then he would just like call out where you had to go to next. Or like if you forgot a target or something.
Left. And then you start running left.
You would still be incredibly slow, but it'd look hilarious. Good doing it. Yeah.
He holds up the quiet sign when I'm up, you know?
Oh, before the beep goes off.
Yeah.
The
shooter, are you ready? And then he just in the back, with the sign.
I feel like AK Masters is actually missing out on an opportunity to make it more of a golf style match.
Dude, at KCON or KBash, I suggested that to Tommy and everybody because they were like, we got to come up with some costumes for next year. I was like, golf. I was like, all of us, everybody gets a bag. We carry our rifles in it. We wear the fucked up pants and the knee high socks. We all dress as golfers.
Yep.
And Tommy's like, oh, we need something better. I'm like, dude, that's awesome. That's awesome. Maybe we'll go to Masters like that next year. And like I said, I've got a little dry erase paddle and we can just write quiet on it. And like, if you're up, I'll hold up the quiet paddle.
But I mean, the way to do it, and if you're not watching on YouTube, you should because I'm about to blow everybody's minds. But do it like the Masters where it is literally like you're in an all white boiler suit.
Yeah, dude.
And
everybody's got a number.
And everybody's got the number and you're all walking around
just caddying it up, dude.
Yeah. And do it like,
oh, I like that. I like that.
Ripping cigs on the court. Course number one is fantastic.
Arnold Palmer's.
Yes. Oh, but dude, lean into the caddy aesthetic.
Yeah.
And
that would be awesome.
I think that this
name on the back and shit.
Yep.
Dude. Yep. 2026 caddy gear.
And hey, if like if Tommy doesn't want to do this, he can just be he'll be the guy.
He'll be my caddy. I don't care.
And then we'll just be the caddies around.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
That could be
he's gonna cool. wear one of them stupid hats.
Yep.
That would be awesome.
I think yeah. Look,
wait for us in 2026, ladies and gentlemen, Masters. Just caddy and hard.
Masters, we're no, gonna pumped, have to do it.
I am pumped. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Be on the lookout next May.
That would be really, really fun.
Dude, it'd be awesome. It would be awesome. That's the type of shit I like doing. I like to be seen and heard. You know, because when I was little, I was always told children are seen and not heard. I want to do both.
It all comes out in the end.
It all does. It's like, you know, when I was doing stand-up comedy years ago and I got my first check from a comedy club, I posted it on Facebook. I was like, what do you think of this, Miss Jacobs, third grade?
So how much was it?
Like it was like I think I still got it. I think it was like $140, $120 for two nights.
Great.
Yeah.
Was that the first time that you ever got paid, or was that just the first time it ever came in a check?
First time it ever came in a check. First time I got paid, okay. That was $10, and I still have that in a frame in my room with the drink token.
Nice.
Yeah. Everybody signed the $10 bill that was there.
That drink token is probably almost worth more than that $10.
It was like at a Moose Lodge in Wisconsin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
It is funny. But yeah, that check, the first time I got a check, it was great. It was Friday night. I was there Friday and Saturday night at the Laugh Factory in Illinois. Not Laugh Factory. Was it the Laugh Factory? What the hell was the name of that place?
The Giggle Room?
No, something like that.
The Chuckle House?
I don't know why the hell I can't think of it. The hell was it called? I don't remember. Now I'm going to have to look it up. Oh, excuse me.
Wow, these caddy uniforms are actually kind of expensive.
Really? It's a white suit.
Yeah, it's $150.
That's stupid.
But they are, this is from caddyuniform.com. So, I mean, this is like premium. Oh. But you can also get your name to print on the back with a Velcro patch, and then a name to print on the front with a Velcro patch. And then you can upload a logo too. So, I think these are pretty premium.
I can't remember the name of this damn place. It wasn't Improv. It wasn't the Laugh Factory. I'm a dumbass. I don't remember. But anyways, Friday, Saturday night, it was awesome because I was just a local guy, you know, from Rockford.
Were you opening?
Let me get to my story, Paul.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And so I'm just, you know, local guy from Rockford coming out to the big city. Right. And they were like, so-and-so told me about you. You know, I've only met you a couple of times, so we're gonna put you up first, you know, because I know these other people. I'm like, yeah, whatever. So they put me up first Friday night, destroyed it, killed the room, did great. They put up these other two people, they did okay. At the end of Friday night, dude's like, hey, tomorrow, dude, you're gonna go up last. And I was like, nice. And that made me feel good. That made me feel real good. Because, you know, I wasn't opening. I was the closer on Saturday night because I did so good Friday night back in my comedy days. If you believe it or not, I used to do stand-up comedy. Why can't I remember the name of this damn comedy club? It's going to piss me off.
They all have like the same name. It's all the Giggle Factory, the Underground Guffaw.
Yeah. I'd have to text my buddy Scott. He'll remember. I don't know why you can't remember the damn name of it. It was awesome. There was like a little gorilla position room that you stand in behind the curtain. It felt great.
Did it have the brick in the back?
No, it was a black wall with the comedy name on it. And at one point there was like just pictures of everybody who's been there. It was a good time. This is going to drive me nuts. I can't remember the name of this damn place.
Well, if anybody knows it, post it down in the comments. Get in the comments.
Yeah, get in the comments. Don't be a bum. But
anything else you want to hit on?
I'm just excited about Mitten State.
Same here.
I'm pumped. I hope I do well. Like I said, I hope everybody does well, honestly. And
being on a super squad, I think helps. And I think that we've got enough guys in the squad that kind of like help out.
You know what? I'm stupid because it's on YouTube, me doing comedy. I'm not going to tell everybody how to find it. But it's
is that how we're going to do the outro today? Instead of our usual outro, it's just
some of Jamie Martin's comedy.
Type five right at the end.
No. Because then you'll find I did another one where, the Comedy Shrine.
Oh, we waited for the Comedy Shrine?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh my gosh, it's not even fun where it's like, you know, the what is it? The Giggle Emporium.
Yeah, no. No, this is the Comedy Shrine. Jamie Martin at the Comedy. No, don't look it up. Anyways.
Oh.
The audio is terrible. But yeah.
What did you open with? What's the deal with gorilla food?
I don't even remember.
It's not even food. It's just bananas.
I used to open with, hi, my name's Jamie. I'm a comedian. And then everybody, like half the people would go, hi, Jamie. I'm like, I stole that opener from an AA meeting. You guys all are supposed to reply with, hi, Jamie. And then I would just say, hi, my name's Jamie. I'm a comedian. And everybody, hi, Jamie. And I'd be like, all right, let's get the show rolling. You know, you got to get the crowd involved.
That's not bad.
No. I got it from an AA meeting. I didn't.
I can't believe you let me walk into that like that.
What?
The AA meeting thing.
Well, that's what it was.
I guess. I mean, I guess it works.
You want to hear, like, no, I'm not even going to tell you my worst joke. Well, it wasn't even worse, but it's, I.
Were you a clean comic?
No. Well, okay, this is what I was going to get at, in a way, because I would say things that you would, like, hear in a certain way that would make you think I said it in a different way. Like, I don't want to say this one because it's pretty bad.
We're waiting.
I don't want to say it's bad. It'll probably get a lot of people to unsubscribe. But oh no, that's loud. Can I share my screen? Here, hold on. I'll do this real quick just for everybody watching.
She asked me to bend over and I said, over where?
No, it was like now it's, I gotta open it in this page. What the hell?
We're falling apart here.
Yeah, we are falling apart. Never mind. I used to do comedy. That's the basics of it. But now I'm a podcaster and a YouTube person, and I shoot competition. And I appreciate everybody who's been listening and or watching. And maybe we'll get to it in another episode.
We'll do it. We should.
Ah! I get rid of Paul. There he is.
We're back. We should do a comedy night.
Like what?
Go Kalash does comedy.
Nah. We don't need to start getting that.
Because, well, think about, no, not like an actual event. But wouldn't it be funny? Wouldn't it be great if your favorite YouTubers came out, your favorite shooting YouTubers came out and had to do 5 minutes of stand-up? Because let's be honest, some of these guys have the personalities of a wood board.
I would destroy. They wouldn't know what to do.
There'd be a lot of, what's the deal with airline food?
Yeah, right. When I was little, I used to play backgammon with my mother. Wait, no, how did I say it? I can't even remember. I told the joke.
Oh, we're still trying to go back to this double entendre?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, this wasn't the double entendre. It was, what was it? When I was little, my mom used to beat me at backgammon. And then she would yell at me for not trying hard enough. It was something like that. It was, you'd have to be there, Paul.
I feel like I was there now.
Yeah. Thank you for not laughing. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Shooter, Are You Ready podcast.
And on that terrible bombshell.
Yeah, and on that bomb, we're going to get out of here. Paul, thanks for jumping in and doing this with me as always, buddy. I very much appreciate you.
Happy Wednesday.
And I appreciate all you listening. You know, the same thing as always. Like, please comment. Let us know how we're doing, what you want us to do. And maybe we'll see you at Mitten State or Brownell's Gunfighter Gauntlet or
Thunder on the Project. We got that going up too.
Yeah, that's gonna be a brutal one. We'll talk about that later. All right. Love you guys. Bye.
Peace.
And this is my outro.
You ready?
Yep.
You ready? Okay,
bye. You ready? Stand by.
Shooter, are you ready? Stand by.
Bye.